Because I think the greatest fear that we face is ourselves, actually. You know, I think it's not anything that's external or anything that's superficial. I think the greatest fear you face is yourself, because, you know, we all have dreams, and it's very scary sometimes to accept the dream that you have. And it's scarier still to say, okay, I want that. It's scary because you're afraid that if you put your heart and soul into it and you fail, then how are you going to feel about yourself?
Kobe, you won the MVP, you led the team to the finals. How do you characterize this season?
Well, I mean, the goal was to win a championship. It wasn't to win MVP or anything like that, it was to win a championship. So, you know, from that aspect, we failed. If I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down my way. And so being fearless means putting yourself out there and going for it. No matter what, go for it. Not for anybody else, but for yourself.
I take you to this scene, 20 seconds left to go. You're down by one. You want the ball. You want to take the last shot.
Absolutely. I'm not afraid to fail, and I just love it. It's just an adrenaline rush. Everybody in the crowd stands up and everybody's waiting to see if you're going to make the shot, if you're going to lose the game or you're going to win the game. It's just an unbelievable rush.
He swings big and he misses big. Same thing with me. I have no fear whatsoever.
Because I notice sometimes you look back at the defender to watch their expression. What's that like?
Yeah, it's, you get the feeling from the defenders where it's like, oh man, no, I just can't, not tonight, you know, sort of thing. And I thrive off of that.
You love that, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
You love that, like, defeated look?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
I used to ask him, man, what's it like to guard Mike? Yo, Mike? You mean Black Jesus? I'm like, what the fuck? So the level of fear that he inspired in others was insane.
And, you know, the hype of going up against Mike, it was, okay, let's go. Show me. Like, I've been watching you play my whole life.
Yeah.
Show me. Right. Like, I want to see this. Everybody calling you Black Jesus and all this other crap.
Yeah.
Like, you have to show me, man.
And I would tell him, I said, when I face him, we're going to go at it. He says, oh, you don't want to do that. I'm like, what? Man, you don't know me, man.
Michael's a great basketball player, but I'm Kobe Bryant.
And I went out there and we went head up. And, you know, I think his respect and appreciation for me really grew that day, because you saw on the biggest stage, I didn't shy away from that confrontation. I looked forward to that confrontation.
Yeah, you look forward to it.
And,
you know, when I was 18, my first year, he got the best of me a bunch of times. I was right there the next play. You're not intimidating me.
Yeah.
I'm not going anywhere. And I think he saw that level of respect, because I think he was the same way at 18 years old. And that common bond is what I think, where our connection was built.
Who beat you in one-on-one if it ever happened in practice?
No.
All right, you once said, if you see me in the fight with a bear, pray for the bear. Is that still going to be true when you come back?
Yeah, bear's having a hard time. I'm beating the bear pretty good right now.
It doesn't matter who I'm playing, you push your ass. It doesn't matter.
It's not really a thing,
yeah.
You know? Like, you think about game-winning shots or game-winning free throws, and people go to the free throw line and they're nervous about it. Well, what are you really nervous about? If you unpack that, okay, you're nervous that you're going to miss the shot. All right, so you miss the shot, then what happens? People are going to be embarrassed. You're going to be embarrassed because thousands of people, millions of people see you miss the shot. All right, and then what? People are going to talk bad about you. Okay, right? And so you're looking at it, you go, are those things even important? You know what I mean? If that is my fear, like, what is, you worried about letting your teammates down? Okay, have you let them down before? Oh, I'm sure, in practice and things of that nature, right? They're still there.
Yeah.
You know? And so when you're able to unpack it, you kind of look at it for what it is, which is really nothing.
How did you become one of those people who doesn't seem to be afraid of failing?
It doesn't exist. It's not existent. What the hell does that mean? Seriously, what does failure mean? It doesn't exist. It's a figment of your imagination. Let's use happy endings, right? And then we can relate this to failure, why it's not existing, right? Everybody talks about it, like, everybody wants a happy ending, right? Now let's go to the reality of it, right? Let's look at a fairy tale story. Let's look at Snow White.
Mm-hmm.
She gets a happy ending, she finds Prince, whatever, she goes on, she lives happily ever after. Well, I call bullshit on that, because 2 months later, the fact is, they had an argument, and he's sleeping on the couch.
Right? So the point is, the story continues. The story continues. So if you fail on Monday, the only way it's a failure on Monday is if you decide to not progress from that. Right? So to me, that's why failure is not existent. Because, you know, if I fail today, I'm going to learn something from that failure, and I'm going to try again on Tuesday. And I fail, and I'm going to try again on Wednesday. So.
This injury was Mount Everest for me personally, because I knew what the long road was going to be. So, you know, at that point, you have to make a decision. You have to make a choice.
It's really hard, man, because it's such a tedious process. And what I found helpful was to not look at the top of the mountain, because the mountain is so damn daunting. You know, it's like,
right. So like if you're saying, okay, I'm going to climb Mount Everest, you're at the bottom of the mountain and you look up and you're going, I'm not going to climb Mount Everest. Right. But if you break it down into sections, you just 1 foot in front of the other, 1 step at a time.
So instead, I just choose to focus on 1 step at a time. And then by the time you realize you're at the top of the mountain again, and that's how I handle all my recoveries. It's just focus on the next thing, focus on the next thing, focus on the next thing. And also, you know how time flies. Yeah. Like, time goes by really fast. So like when you're sitting here in the moment dealing with an injury that's a 9-month injury, I can't do that. But when 12 months go by, you're going to wish you did, because it goes by like that. You know what I'm saying? So that's always been my approach. Just one step at a time. Yeah. And I didn't want the injuries dictating when I retired. I wanted to control that. It's like, no, my body, sit down, be humble. Yeah, you're not telling me when I'm walking away. Right. Like, I'm going to tell you when I'm ready to go.
Well, I mean, it's one of those moments. You know, I think we all have moments like this in life where it just seems like that day is never going to end. You know, it just seems like the moment that you're in just feels like the darkest moment to you. You know, you personally feel like, I don't know if I can do this again. I don't know if I can come back, you know? And you have to issue that challenge to yourself and try to respond to it.
Well, I want to start off by reading something that you wrote right after you were injured. You went on Facebook and you posted a lengthy blog. Yeah. You know what this is?
Oh, yeah.
You said, this is such BS. All the training and sacrifice just flew out the window with one step that I've done millions of times. The frustration is unbearable. The anger is rage. Why the hell did this happen? Makes no damn sense. Now I'm supposed to come back from this and be the same player or better at 35? How in the world am I supposed to do that? I have no clue. Do I have the consistent will to overcome this thing? Maybe I should break out the rocking chair and reminisce on the career that was. Maybe this is how my book ends. Yeah. Maybe Father Time has defeated me. Then again, maybe not. It's 3:30 a.m. My foot feels like dead weight. My head is spinning from the pain meds, and I'm wide awake. Forgive my venting, but what's the purpose of social media if I won't bring it to you real, no image? Feels good to vent, to let it out. To feel as if this is the worst thing ever. Because after all the venting, the real perspective sets in. There are far greater issues and challenges in the world than a torn Achilles. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Find the silver lining and get to work with the same belief, same drive, and same conviction as ever. One day, the beginning of a new career journey will commence. Today is not that day. If you see me in a fight with a bear, pray for the bear. I've always loved that quote. That's Mamba mentality. We don't quit, we don't cower, we don't run, we endure and conquer.
My brain cannot process failure. It will not process failure. Because if I sit there and have to face myself and tell myself, you know, you're a failure, I think that's almost worse than death.
Ryan again going to work, falls down. Yeah, he's struggling.
As soon as I made the move, I knew it.
I mean, that's the Achilles. I shouldn't say that. That's a foot injury.
I remember feeling the silence. I remember feeling the fear. 35 years old, 17, 18 years in the league. I'm like, this could be the wrap.
And that's what the silence was. It was like, this could really be
a... It was hard, man. Because the Achilles injury is the worst injury for an athlete. It's like the worst. It's like the kiss of death. And when I ruptured my Achilles, I knew what happened. I knew the severity of the injury, and I didn't know if I was going to come back from it.
Yeah, in the locker room, you were crying.
Yeah, man, I didn't... Like, this is it. Like, my career could be over right
now. One of the most terrifying dreams for me was a dream of me being on a basketball court. Stadium's full. I'm attacking the basket, and I can't get off the ground. I can't jump. Like, I'm stuck. Like, I'm cemented to the floor. I was conscious of the fact that I was dreaming. So now I'm trying to control my dream. You can jump through it. You can push through it. You can get to that basket. And no matter how hard I tried, my legs were too heavy. Can't jump.
I'm telling you, you don't play defense any better than Ruben Patterson did. This crowd is in complete shock. Yes,
you know, timeout. You know, I told my teammates, I said, give me a good pick, and we're going home with a W.
You know, what I try to do is just try to be still and understand that things come and go, emotions come and go. The important thing is to accept them all, to embrace them all, and then you can choose to do with them what you want versus being controlled by emotion. You know, a lot of times I've seen players, even myself, you know, when I was younger, being consumed by a particular fear, and to the point where you're saying, okay, nah, it's not good to feel fear. I shouldn't be nervous in a situation like that. And it does nothing but grow versus stepping back and saying, yeah, I am nervous about the situation. Yeah, I am fearful about the situation. But what am I afraid of? And then you kind of unpack it. And then it gives you the ability to look at it for really what it is, which is nothing more than your imagination running its course. You know, you'll have the pressure on yourself to play, you know, to capitulate to that fear. If you play with the sense of I want to win, then you have the fear of what happens if you don't. But if you find common ground in the middle, in the center, then it doesn't matter. You're unfazed by either, right? And that enables you to really just stay in the moment, stay connected to it, and not feel anything other than what's in front of you. So, you know, I try to just be dead center.
When we lost in the finals to the Celtics in 2008, that was a turning point. Mm-hmm. You know, so when I sat there in the hotel room afterwards, I started thinking about that, you know, because it's on me. If I didn't feel like my teammates were aggressive enough, that falls on me. And I had to understand what their journey was. How are they feeling as people? What are they going through?
For me, it is that ferocity or that anger, rage. I can carry that with me. Now, how do I instill this to the rest of my guys, to the rest of my teammates? Using the darker emotions, the anger, or resentment, or frustration, and sadness, and using that as a weapon, using that as a form of offense. Some people are probably afraid to tap into that side of them, but it's such a powerful thing.
Once they own it themselves, then the sky is the limit, because they're going to drive themselves and pull it from who they are and all of their life experiences and things that have motivated them.
Matter of fact, get your hands off me. Don't touch me the rest of the scrimmage.
Get your hands off. Just start driving me, needling me, right? Pushing.
What are you still waiting for a big smile out of you? You're up 2-0. What's the story? Are you not happy, or you're only half happy, or?
Still to be happy about.
You're up 2-0.
Job's not finished. Job finished? I don't think so.
After we did that, we have a bond now that unites us forever, forever. We have a bond that will never be broken, because we, the lion looked us in the face and we looked back.